C-50. RMXT Studio No. 1, Manhattan, New York. Given the lack of a live studio audience, there was no hubbub or commotion when the Focus 2020 panelists returned to tens of millions of screens around the country. What there was in the studio was a decidedly changed atmosphere. Billy Kendrick couldn't have hidden his beaming smile had he wanted to, while even William Godfrey's best efforts to look calm in the face of an unexpected reveal weren't up to the task. Godfrey had expected the studio memo to leak at some point, but the timing, while he was on live TV, surrounded by gloating rivals and with nowhere to hide, could not have been worse. On the show's return to air, Marion DeClercq announced that the second topic, already delightfully titled Transparency at the GSC, would now commence. She pointed towards the giant screen, which was now split to show Billy Kendrick on one side and the leaked memo responsible for his cheery demeanor on the other. This revelation that senior GSC scientists have advised you of their belief that the Kerguelen event was unnatural changes everything, Chairman Godfrey. Does it not? DeClercq asked. It certainly appears to vindicate the earlier claims of a GSC cover-up we've heard from Mr. Kendrick and others like him. Godfrey cleared his throat. Heads would roll for this, he would see to that, but right now he had a job to do. A brief discussion with his roomful of aides and advisors during the commercial break would have been most helpful, but the schematics of the studio complex would have made that impossible, even if new rules hadn't recently forbade panelists from accessing any external information from the first to the last minute of the taping. This gave live via satellite guests like Billy Kendrick a tremendous advantage, since they could do whatever they wanted off-screen, but Godfrey knew that raising the issue of this particular unfairness would have made him look weak in a moment which called for strength and poise. "There is absolutely nothing decisive in this memo," he said, "which is precisely why there have been no announcements. Yes, I have seen it, and yes, I have taken it into consideration, but there's something everyone has to understand here. It's okay for the likes of Timo and Billy to demand comments from me on every little thing, but there is a bigger picture that they don't have to think about. Stability, security, continuity. These are the things they're clearly not thinking about when they make incendiary comments about cover-ups and baseless comparisons between the GSC and the IDA. Tell me, are the police and the courts covering something up when they're too busy investigating a missing person's last recorded movements to host a press conference every 5 minutes? No. And are we covering something up when we do the equivalent? Of course not." Godfrey's tone and body language made it clear that he wasn't finished. "This so-called leak is not a problem," he continued. "This is merely a symptom of a teething problem I have been trying to mitigate for months. The problem of deep-rooted self-interest within certain GSC departments and divisions whose staff oppose the democratic will of the member states who unanimously voted, just around the corner from here at the UN, to select me as the inaugural GSC chairman. Any organization as ambitious as the GSC is bound to encounter these kinds of teething problems simply because there are so many competing interests within our organization, even more so than there are within a national government. I'd go as far as to say that the GSC's broad member base has more agendas than a meeting room table. Unfortunately, in this case, our existing instrumentation hasn't been firm enough to curtail the self-interested signatories of this speculative memo. What I can promise the citizens of our planet today is that I will purge the GSC of those individuals and groups who value their own agendas more highly than this planet's safety and stability. They'll be watching this now, smiling at each other, clicking their champagne glasses, thinking they've got one over on old Godfrey. Well, we'll see how that works out for them, won't we?"
"Purge is a very strong word," Marion DeClercq said, prodding Godfrey to expand on his surprisingly aggressive defense.
"This is a very serious situation," he replied, "and my anger is very strong. Our recent collective history places us in a very peculiar moment in time. For given how fresh our memories of the IDA leak remain, it would be extremely natural for people to jump on this and think that the same kind of thing is going on all over again. But in the simplest terms, I am not Richard Walker, and the GSC is not the IDA. There was a cover-up in Colorado Springs, as we all know.
What I can categorically state right now is that there is no cover-up in Buenos Aires, no cover-up regarding the Kerguelen bolide, and no cover-up regarding anything else. Timo Fiori, whose last-minute actions with Emma Ford had made him hopeful that some information would leak from the GSC during the show, hadn't even dreamed that it would be anything so clear-cut as a memo which outright contradicted Godfrey's earlier comments and was signed by several respected scientists. It had been a simple appeal, with Timo's trusted staff at his Cavalieri Observatory doing the grunt work of contacting their many friends around the world who worked in previously national observatories and facilities now administered by the GSC. Before long, two distinct but anonymous employees who had seen the well-circulated memo within the GSC's Buenos Aires HQ shared it with Timo's staff. Minutes later, it was on Marion de Klerk's desk and countless screens around the world. And given the number of GSC employees of various seniorities and nationalities who had already publicly questioned why the observational findings which led the signatories to call the bolide observably unnatural hadn't been shared with all research facilities as was explicitly mandated by GSC protocol, it was starting to look like William Godfrey wouldn't have many employees left if his promised purge extended to all of the openly insubordinate. Jack Neal wasn't sporting as wide a grin as Timo might have expected, instead taking care not to outwardly support the leaking of classified information, even though it weakened Godfrey tremendously. Inside, however, he was nothing but gleeful. "If you're willing to cover this up," Joe Crabbe snarled at Godfrey, "hell, I'm starting to think you really might be up to something big. You're men, and women, before any precious pansies jump down my throat. They've already detected a serious unnatural incident within our atmosphere and tried to hide its unnaturalness from all of us. If you go on to detect something even more serious, why should we believe that you'd be ready or even willing to deal with it?" Godfrey shook his head and looked at Marion de Klerk. "This is the kind of hysteria I'm talking about, paranoid fantasies mixed with baseless fear-mongering. Your network should seriously consider the kind of guests you invite for serious discussions. Responsible broadcasting is more than a buzzword, it's a necessity." At last, Timo broke his post-leak silence. "You speak again of responsibility, Chairman Godfrey. First, you call me irresponsible for announcing my Fiori Frontieri venture, and now you accuse the network of being irresponsible for inviting guests who dare to give you a hard time. But only one person on this panel is guilty of acting with reckless irresponsibility, not just recently, but over the past year. And it's neither myself nor even Joe Crabbe. With unprecedented funding pooled from the combined budgets of every national space agency, your organization has consumed, topped up even further with vast additional contributions from your primary member states, you have developed almost nothing beyond an ostentatious HQ complex. At this point, you don't even appear capable of fulfilling the original Global Shield Commission's remit of protecting Earth from external threats. Fear-mongering," Godfrey said again. "Gather round, children, here comes Mr. Fiori to tell us all that the sky is falling, and I wonder who just so happens to be the only man who can save us." "Regrettably, that may be the case," Timo replied. "Among those with the means, who else has the desire? You can call me crazy, you can laugh at me for saying the sky is falling, you can say what you like. The subject of planetary defense is indeed one part of Fiori Frontieri's long-term focus, but I chose not to let it dominate my announcement because, well, to be blunt, people don't like to hear about this. But that doesn't mean the threats aren't real, Chairman Godfrey. You know that as well as I do." Godfrey nodded slightly, as though deciding it was wise to be seen to agree with at least part of what Timo was saying. "For once, Mr. Fiori, you are making some degree of sense. The difference between us, again, is that I have to act and speak responsibly. Just because you don't see what we are doing behind the scenes, that doesn't mean we're not doing it. And I would like nothing more than for my scientists to cooperate with the many great minds whose national agencies have been consumed by the GSC," Timo said. "But unfortunately, thanks to people like you, that is proving politically impossible." Godfrey shook his head, quickly past agreeing with anything Timo said. I think you mean fortunately, Mr. Fiore. At its core, the GSC is democratically governed, and there is a very good reason that checks are in place to prevent repulsively wealthy individuals such as yourself from being able to dictate to heads of governments as you see fit. From the giant screen, Billy Kendrick interjected. No one is dictating anything. Timo wants to throw private money at public problems, which at some point we are going to have to address, and you're standing in his way. To the discomfort of some viewers and panelists, Timo and Billy spent the next few minutes rallying for serious investment in planetary defense by discussing specific threats Earth could face in the foreseeable future, some considerably more plausible and potentially catastrophic than others. And if I could just have one last word on that, Timo said, reacting to Marion de Klerk's body language, which made it clear that she wanted to bring the other panelists into the conversation. Chairman Godfrey, a serious investment in our planet's future has to be made, and if you won't do it, I will. Yes, right now you are standing in my way. But neither I nor the citizens of this planet will stand idly by while you hide behind the legal clauses your friends included in the GSC's charter to forbid private groups from launching anything into orbit. You can try to stop me, and you can even succeed. What I want you to remember is that you can stop a man, but you can't stop a movement. I shouldn't be surprised, Godfrey groaned, but for some reason I am. What we have here in the form of Timo Fiore is a narcissistic billionaire with an origin story that would put any comic book supervillain to shame. Born into the most grotesque level of privilege anyone could imagine, living with an unearned fortune greater than the GDP of many countries, and now seeking personal power through strategic control of space, the ultimate high ground. Let's not forget, we're dealing with a man here who just named a space program after himself. When I proposed the creation of an organization like the GSC, the G didn't stand for Godfrey. That's the difference, and we'd all do well to remember it. Do either of you two have any perspectives to add? De Klerk asked, the quiet pairing of Jack Neal and Joe Crabb. While Crabb shook his head quickly and decisively, Jack was evidently weighing up whether to share the final thought rattling through his mind. After a few seconds, he exhaled sharply through his nose and glared at Godfrey like a mongoose staring down a cobra. Jack then glanced briefly at his notes, revealing that what he was about to say had at least been considered and hence evidently cleared with Prime Minister Cole. "Timo is not necessarily the answer to anything," he said, speaking slowly and calmly. "I'm certainly not saying he is, but just because he may not be the answer, that doesn't mean there are no questions worth asking. Chairman Godfrey, a lot of people in a lot of countries really are concerned that your organization is not doing enough to ensure the long-term safety of their populations. If we consider the analogy of a national government, a state, we all recognize that a state is supposed to protect its citizens against internal threats from bad people and against external threats from other aggressive states. We all agree on that. And if a state can't do those things, the social contract is broken, and the state loses its monopoly on the legitimate use of force. Again, we all agree on that. This has been the foundation of our political world for hundreds of years. So when your organization claims a legitimate global monopoly over all aspects of space-based defense and observation systems, Jack went on well into his stride, you need to understand that the responsibility is on you to uphold your end of this new social contract. Because if the people of this planet understandably feel that you're not doing enough to safeguard their futures, your monopoly is going to be challenged. Not just by Timo, but by the member states themselves. A year ago, you accused Richard Walker of committing a crime against humanity for leaving us less prepared to deal with a potential threat than we would have been if he had acted openly and responsibly. Today, Chairman Godfrey, I hope that particular irony is not lost on you. Marion de Klerk, as stunned as anyone by Jack's remarkable stance, invited Godfrey to reply. Even for you. Godfrey began, pausing for several seconds to let the words sink in. Even for you. I can't pretend to be anything other than astounded that you would stoop so low and risk destabilizing everything just to score political points and continue a childish personal grudge. For everyone else, let me reassure you that the United Kingdom is, and always will be, a primary member of the GSC, long after this parasite is out of the picture, and long after the clock strikes 12 on John Cole's accidental career in politics. Fortunately, in the real world, the two nations truly capable of challenging the GSC's status quo happen to be governed by reasonable individuals in the form of Valerie Slater and Ding Ziyong, both of whom are as firmly behind this cooperative global endeavor as I am. If Jack and John want to threaten to pull out, I invite them to do so at their earliest convenience. We'll see how the British electorate reacts to that. And unfortunately, that's all we have time for, Marion de Klerk said, trying to stay on top of the unexpected and explosive developments which had closed the final segment of the show, and which she knew could end up having even more far-reaching consequences than the GSC leak which had opened it. Stick around for a special bulletin on the recent revelations from Buenos Aires and what the apparent split between leading figures may mean for the future of the GSC itself. And as ever, tune in next week for another exciting edition of Focus 2020. As the lighting in the studio changed and the panelists removed the microphones from their shirts, William Godfrey stared a hole through Jack Neal. "You have no idea what kind of game you're playing here," he said, quickly switching his gaze to Timo and hissing out the words, "Either of you."